All in favor?
Is there any discussion or additions or corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries, the minutes are approved. Finance. Mr. Foreman.
Thank you very much, Chairman. And I will pass the screen to our Executive Director, Brenda.
Before, as I'm getting the share screen up, I just wanted to report first about our two fiscal sponsorships. The Hudson Police Memorial Fund has raised to date $12,622. And the Conservation Advisory Council Arbor Day Fund, it was a quick turnaround, and I want to be sure to pass along sincere thank you from CAC, who really appreciated our fast turnaround. They had a successful first Arbor Day, and they raised $2,848, which is great. They were able to plant a tree in each ward for this one, and they're looking forward to doing more good work next year. Right, let me get my screen up. So here is our statement of activity for year to date. Nothing, again, out of the ordinary. We've been collecting our revenue for the parking lease and the rental of the CAS warehouse for storage. Nothing out of the ordinary, just payroll. We did re-up our Microsoft Office membership this month, but other than that, nothing new. Same old, same old.
Is there, do I hear a motion for approval of the monthly and year-to-date monthly finance report?
I make that motion.
There a second?
Second.
Are there any questions, observations? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Since our last meeting, Brenda and Phil have been working on a budget for the next year. That is not only required for our own planning, but required to submit to the New York State Department. And we have a draft in front of us. I'm going to preempt just a bit here. There will be a revenue item that we're not reporting yet. And that will be if the CAS property closes in this year, it will show up as revenue. We're not putting that here. Primarily because to put it here exposes the price of the sale, which we cannot do without going into an executive session. So that's point one. Revenue, if it flows this year, will be here. And secondly, in the budget on expenses, there'll be a salary item here. To discuss that also requires a executive session. And I'm not going to ask us to discuss that today. I'm asking to reconvene the compensation committee and have them report back to us at the next meeting on their recommendations on salary and benefits for our executive director. So with those two things, let's take a look at the budget for 2022.
All right. I hope everybody had a chance to look over this at least briefly prior to the meeting. I'm not going to move terribly quickly, but I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So we have for the executive director, a placeholder of 60, taxes attributed to that through payroll. I do have two blank spots for program manager or an assistant. Again, as we're developing our plans for the future, you may want to consider hiring additional staff, health insurance. If you are going to put me on salary, health insurance will be part of the employment benefit that we have to consider, as you do not pay them currently. Our audit fees, based on what we paid last year, legal fees, I put in a placeholder of 10. It could be more. We will not have to do any appraisals or surveys this year. I did add a bookkeeper. As you know, once we do have revenue from the sale of CAS, our finances are much better than they have been in years previous. And our auditors have always suggested that we do have a contracted bookkeeper, so that there's a division of labor between myself, the board, and who's watching over the finances to make sure that we're doing everything appropriately according to ABO. Our liability insurance, our directors and officers insurance, that's carrying over. I did add extra liability for the coming year. As you know, we'll have increased finances. I did have an email out to our insurance agent to figure out what the cost difference would be. And I haven't heard back from her, so I need to circle back. We assume that we will be able to make our loan payment back to CEDC once we have revenue from CAS sale, which is 200. As you know, right now we've been paying just the interest on that loan. So thank you once again to CEDC for helping us along. So operating expenses, you know, meeting expenses, computer expenses, workers' comp, disability, payroll, filing fees, phone, our website, postage, office supplies, dues and memberships, which is essentially just to the Chamber of Commerce at this point, advertising for special meetings. I did put in a cost for an extra computer to have just a backup just in case, so we're not surprised by any cost if something does occur, i.e. hiring an assistant, or if something happens to my computer. We do need a new printer and scanner. This was approved last year for me to purchase. However, with the supply chain, I haven't been able to find one in our price range that I think would be a good fit for the office that could deliver it. So that's something that we need to do. Right now, I'm the other one is still working, but it's definitely on its last legs. I put in a cushion of $1,000 for other operating costs that might come to pass. And just to be clear, these contribution expenditures on the screen, these are our fiscal sponsorships. And also in the last year, we usually donate to the Hudson Business Coalition for their walking guide. Their walking guide is something that HDC actually started, you know, 5 years ago, and they've carried it on as they formed their own nonprofit. So total expense is $365, and that number seems a little bit higher because we are paying off the loan to CEDC. As far as revenue this year, thus far in that year to date column in the middle, this is what we've brought in through the parking lot leases and the CAS rental. We did receive in this last year, of course, the Mount Marino sale. Somewhere around $60 in interest for our bank account. Woohoo. And then here below, it's the money that comes in from our fiscal sponsorships goes straight back out. And as I discussed at the last meeting, the plans for the Hudson Police Memorial are going to carry over until 2022 because they need to raise more money. And the goal is somewhere around $20,000. They're looking to apply for some grants, I think, with Berkshire Taconic and get that moving in the near future. So that's where we are. I open it up. Oh, and there's one more thing. Phil and I were talking about, you know, again, this is sort of a bridge into talking about the future. And I just wanted to mention it to the board that, you know, as our revenue comes in and we're thinking about how to plan with our funds, there's this idea that we should be talking about our operating capital. The money that we have, you know, we're at $60 for an interest for the year. That number can be substantially increased if we invest our money the right way. So there's there's different ways of looking at it. So if we start thinking about operating capital as opposed to just revenue, money coming in and money coming out. So I'll leave that to Phil to dive a little bit more into.
Thanks, Brenda. You covered the gist of it. Yes, it's revenue in accounting terms, but in terms of planning terms, it's capital that we intend, consistent with the mission statement, to invest in Hudson. And I think it's appropriate just to label it that way and keep in mind it ain't forever, but this is a unique moment in time for HDC. And we need to consider this as investment funds that need to be considered very carefully and, as appropriate, go back out to the community.
Thank you, Phil. Do we need, at this point, an approval on the draft budget? Is that timely, or
yes.
We do need that?
Yeah, and remember, I did send this into the email to the board members that our budget is essentially a living document. It will be, you know, we can change it and update it as we go. However, as it stands, with the addition of our assumed revenue from the sale of CAS, we do have to post a budget to Authority's budget office by October 31st.
Would we make a motion to accept this working budget? Is that...
Yes, we need that motion.
All right, so yeah, I'll make a motion that we accept the working budget that was just presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. It's been a motion made and seconded. Is there discussion, questions, observations about this working budget?
Brenda, I'm just curious. Question.
We got two. Let's do John first. He had his hand up first.
Well, we're counting contributions as revenue. I know we offset it in the balance sheet because but this is more of a P&L. Why do we count it as revenue at all?
Because we
there's
accept
no offsetting. Yeah. There's no offset. Yeah, I mean, I realize that, but we can't spend it. It's not even restricted revenue in the sense that it's usable by us, but only for a specific purpose. I don't understand why we...
So are you asking that we should list it as restricted for the fiscal sponsorships?
I think there should be an either... I just don't think we should count it towards the total because...
Okay.
You know, in essence, it's increasing our revenue. It's inflating our revenue, and it's just not revenue. Unless there's an accounting reason that we should do it that way. I'm not an accountant, I don't think. That was my question.
Yeah, to my understanding, the ABO treats fiscal sponsorship somewhat like a grant program. So we're receiving funds on behalf for the tax-exempt donation purposes. They are restricted funds that we can't spend them at our leisure. It's the program that is set forth. And then it's my hope, you know, as we're putting this fiscal policy together, that essentially we're collecting the money and then it's granted back out to the organization that we're fiscally sponsoring. So if you want, I mean, we could note that, or I could just remove them altogether, but because it's money coming into our accounts, they are actualized in our financial statements at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I understand that they would show up there, and I understand them on our balance sheet as a liability.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand them on a P&L because there's no offsetting expense in the operating expense portion that really corresponds to that. We don't bill them for it. I mean, it's a tiny little thing, but at the end of the day, we're really $362K in the hole, which is fine, but that's the real position that we're in.
Right.
Under this budget. And I think that's doable. And, you know, how we finance internally that deficit is, you know, something that we can work. But I just think that it's not our money. I don't understand why it's on the P&L.
Hey, John, it's Phil. Let me and Brenda take another look at it. It's a good point. Obviously, it's not our money. We're a custodian. So we'll figure out what to do. But your point is well taken.
Thanks, Phil.
Any other discussion or questions?
Just curious, Brenda, who is the insurance agent that we work with?
Marshall and Sterling, they're the broker for what is AMI, which is a nonprofit insurance agency.
Thank you.
Randa, I had my hand up.
Oh, Steve.
My thought on this is that what we're approving is a document to satisfy the regulatory authorities that has a due date of October 31. It's not really a document that's written in stone as our business plan. And therefore, that document should be designed to comport with what the regulatory authorities expect and require. If they expect and require a document that shows cash in, cash out, then the way Randa formulated it is correct, because it is cash in, albeit restricted, and then cash out. But we're really acting merely as a conduit, really. And I don't know, but if the regulators expect a financial income statement, then Mr. Friedman's comments are well taken, because it indeed is not income, nor is it really an expense. It's cash in, cash out.
Right.
So my suggestion, I don't consider this a cosmically important issue, but my suggestion is that somebody get some sense from the regulatory authorities what design they prefer, and then the HDC comports with it.
Right.
Those are my
Yeah, so when I submit the budget to ABO, they have, it's called Paris. It's an online form where you submit your information and they ask for electronic copy of our budget. And then we also fill out in a form. And in years past, it has been sort of donations received. It doesn't necessarily have a fiscal sponsorship line, but it's donations received and then donations made out, and that's where I've all historically put our fiscal sponsorships. And you know, the ABO looks at this every year and they've never said anything, because then once we do our audit in the spring, our financial statements concur with it.
You have precedent behind you, and it's been accepted without fuss, and so that's a significant fact. And I leave it to you and Mr. Foreman as to whether or not you want to inquire the regulatory authorities what they actually expect, or leave sleeping dogs lie, because that's the way you got it past. I defer to you guys. I just thought I'd babble on here for a bit, for what it's worth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Further discussion on the budget? Having heard none, we'll call for the vote on the motion to approve this document. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On with old business. So I'm going to turn the next item, disposition, over to Paul Barrett, chairman of our real estate efforts. And there's been some activity here. Mr. Barrett.
Yes, there has. Before I begin, I just want to remind the board that the specifics about the real estate transaction, such as who the buyer is, purchase amounts, amounts of monies put forward, that can only be discussed in executive session. However, what we can say here now this morning is the buyer has signed the contract. There were no changes or notations made. He signed the contract and the rider exactly as it was presented. The buyer had provided us a 1% good faith deposit in the past. The buyer has since executed a wire transfer for the balance of the 10% of the purchase price, the 10% down payment, and that's due with contract signing. And you know, the transfer is effective. We're just waiting for it to hit the bank. And with little exception, this 10% down is a non-refundable deposit. The next step is Christopher Hines submits an application to the courts for approval. And this approval is needed only because this sale is the majority of HDC's assets. So, but as of right now, the contract is signed and the deal is firmly moving forward.
Awesome. This is, we have worked so long for this. Paul, that's such good news. This is such good news. So, addressing Crystal, the process, that's correct. We now, you submit this to the court, am I correct?
Yes, there's an application that is prepared. I'm waiting for some information from Brenda. The court wants to see how you're going to spend the money that you are getting from the sale. And once we have that, we will submit the application. I anticipate anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks for approval, but the courts are operating at their own speed at this point. I understand that the focus is getting criminal matters through the court system, as criminal defendants have a right to a speedy trial, but we will do what we can to make sure that application gets approved in time.
Great. Okay. I guess we can take an interesting deep breath. Thank you for all of you that worked so hard on this. We are so close. We're so close. All right. With that in mind, and thinking about how does this prospectively change or focus our organization, I asked Phil to address this briefly. Phil and I had a conversation about this subject back a week or so ago, and he summarized our thoughts on it so well. I asked him to kind of repeat that for us here. I'm thinking through where do we stand and how do we move forward on this? So, Phil, can you hold forth on that for us for a few minutes?
I can and I will. Thank you, Bob. You had actually spoken to me yesterday and said, Phil, could you do your soliloquy again? And so I referred back to Hamlet's very famous line when he said, so now what do we do? I'm summarizing for Hamlet. Shakespeare said it much, much better, but it's kind of something. What do we do? In my thinking and seeing what other organizations have done and stuff that I did in a prior life, there's a logic that says, well, you do some kind of brainstorming and reach out and create input and all that good stuff and begin to consider and vet different ideas on what we do with the funds, how we invest it, all that stuff, obviously within whatever the rules and regs are. And it occurred to me as I was walking on the edge of the castle, seeing ghosts here at 32 Warren, that was going to not necessarily get us to where we want to go, just because they're all going to be good ideas. And how do you vet them? And how do you say yes? And how do you say no? And on what basis do we consider giving people money, investing money, whatever it may be. So I went back to our mission statement, which has some feel-good language in it But actually, for a mission statement, it's pretty darn specific. Because the operative language in the mission statement is sustain, promote, attract projects, probably too many words, that improve economic opportunities. The most active word, the most active set of words, at least in my reading in the mission statement, is certainly economic opportunity as an umbrella, but create jobs as a specific. There's so many folks in Hudson working in lots and lots of different areas of community life and community improvement, but very few that are uniquely focused on job creation, and very few who've got the resource to help subsidize and promote job creation. So there's giving away money to good causes, which I'm quite sure we will do. You can't not. But I was also thinking back to the extraordinary impact on us, all of us, and on Hudson, with the generosity or wisdom of Mike Tucker and his team when they lent us a chunk of dough that had existential consequences for HDC being able to move forward and end up in the pretty cool spot that we're in. And that was about leverage. That was a small amount of money, and I think when the numbers are released, you will see how that precipitated a very large amount of money. And I think there's a lesson in that, and a lesson that we can learn from the county folks in terms of how they do it. So going a little old school, my thought in this soliloquy is, before we just brainstorm ideas, which at the end of the day are nothing but tactics, that we actually look at objectives and strategies. So the tactics are considered within a framework that's understood and supported by the board and is consistent with a mission statement. And I try to write something, and this is specific to our investment capital. It doesn't mean it's the only thing we do. It means that it's a point of focus. To use our funds to maximize impact on job creation and economic opportunities in Hudson, as a thought. The other thought, which isn't in the mission statement, but it makes a lot of sense, is sustainability. We all know that businesses don't always succeed. Startups don't always succeed. Nothing always succeeds. It doesn't mean you don't invest, but it does mean that we're in a pretty cool position of knowing a lot about where to invest. We're not starting with a blank slate. We're all keen observers of Hudson and what works and what doesn't work. And we're all keen observers of people we know, both in terms of intent, but also capacity to follow through and actually create jobs. So sustainability is a thought. I think accountability of our strategies. Whatever we do, we want to introduce some metrics, performance metrics, on not just how the money is used, but ask people to warrant in a hard term or warrant in a soft term that they are going to be able to deliver on our mission statement and create jobs. There are lots of folks doing incredible stuff in Hudson, all worthy, but they're not thousands of people who have a proven track record. And I think we can learn from the successes that we see in town and learn from our knowledge and see if we can't replicate the kind of impact that the county had on HDC when they lent us that money. I think that one of the strategies would be to look for opportunities where money's not just given, it may be, but also invested. That is, we team up with the county, with Bank of Greene County, with other institutions to be able to leverage our working capital to something that might be 4, 5, or even 10 times the amount that we put in the coffers, if we're smart enough to engage the right people who also are going to put some capital in with us to create jobs. I could go on, Chairman, but that's my rumination so far.
Thank you, Phil. Your example of the investment made by the CEDC in our organization, a $200,000 investment that is returning substantial multiples, is a good one for us to use as an example. It also would be an appropriate time, I'm not sure if Mike Tucker is still in the room, but to convey our wholehearted thanks for the confidence he and his board had in us. We are so close here. We are so close. All right.
Thank you very much. And we've honored and happy to partner. Everything that we do, everything that all of the organizations that each of our organizations work with, it's all about partnership. Doesn't mean that there aren't discussions and dialogues to get to yes. And I appreciate all of your efforts to work with us in that regard. But whether it's workforce and education, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's quality of life, or whether it's helping small businesses, it's all about working relationships and building trust and learning along the way. And certainly, you know, as I sit here and think about it, Brenda, you still have $10,000 on deposit, so you really only owe us $190,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And number one, and number two, you know, I was an early naysayer. I'll admit that finding someone who would buy this property without any contingencies was unlikely. And I must compliment all of you and, you know, particularly your leadership team for being able to achieve that. It's, you know, I've been in the real estate business a long time, and, you know, it's more than taking a breath. It's taking a gulp, because you really achieved something that I didn't think was possible, and I commend you all for that.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. When Nick and I presented this request to you and your board, it was a healthy back and forth discussion, and it was clear everybody wasn't jumping up and down with the opportunity, but their confidence in us is deeply appreciated, and we're pleased at this point. It was very well placed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We feel the same way.
Good. All right. Let's move on to new business, fiscal sponsorship policy. Brenda, you worked on that with others. Can you bring us up to date here?
Sure. At the last meeting, when we did the quick approval from the CAC and their Arbor Day celebration, I think it was Seth that brought up we should have a policy addressing this, because there's not a lot of parameters, and in the past it's been yes or no, or have the groups been applying for their own nonprofit status, and we're kind of supporting them as they work towards that. So I worked with Martha and Steve Dunn to put together a what is essentially an application, our official policy and parameters for that, as well as a a template agreement to sign with future groups. And then Martha also suggested that I reach out to our auditor, Matt Vanderbeck at UHY, because of her experience with CEDC and how they handled fiscal sponsorships and things in the past. I still haven't heard back from him, but Steve is still looking over the document, so I didn't have anything to share with you today, but I would like to get that accomplished by the end of year. That way, I know in the future we're going to have, you know, more requests for fiscal sponsorship, and we should have something together for that. In the time since we had the last meeting, I guess I'll open it up to the board. Is there anything specific that you're looking for in this before I, you know, send the draft out to everybody?
I think the general thought last time was some statement was needed, since prior to this time we were simply floating on, it's a good idea, why don't we go with it? I think we're straight back to our treasurer's presentation on there needs to be some structure and perhaps some metric that helps us define what do we do, what do we not do.
Right. That's what we're working towards. Great.
Okay, good.
If I could just pop in quickly, Brenda, I was waiting for the auditor's input so I could look at everything at once.
No problem.
And if that proves unwieldy, let me know.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Peripheral wine event. I got a call a few weeks ago from Ben Fain, who, as you all know, operates Kitty's.
Excuse me, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this conversation. I'm going to drop out of the call.
Okay.
I'm one of the owners of Peripheral. So,
okay.
I think it's probably best if
I can put you in the waiting room and bring you back in.
That's fine. I will be here waiting.
Okay. Thanks, John. I got a call from Mr. Fain indicating that a wine festival, obviously been held elsewhere, may have been held at Fish and Game. Not sure.
It was at
thank you. Of organic wines, were asking if they could have the event in property adjacent to Ben's property, Kitty's. They're looking at the CSX parcel that we purchased. We talked back and forth with them. We ascertained insurance requirements, permit requirements. It's a one-day event, and we tried to do something that would encourage this kind of thing. A lot of people attend this. It's a good event, a good history of success in town. We had a contract drafted to lease the space to the event for a day for $500, I believe, Brenda. Right. adjunct with this, all this time, the WIC has had dumpsters and a storage container sitting on this property. So we've approached them to finally have that moved onto their own property, which is appropriate because the property is changing hands ultimately. So that contract is all set to go. That event comes up promptly this coming weekend.
It is this Saturday.
Right. So they will set up, they will tent that, I think with a substantial tent, coming in on Friday. Is the event Saturday?
Right. The event is Saturday. There's an opening event. I think it's maybe private event on Friday. And okay. Then Saturday is the cleanup on Sunday.
So for us, a $500 revenue. helping out a local event. And I think in more than one ways, helping out a local business who now will draw a lot of people to Mr. Fain's business and perhaps introduce that to them down on the on Front Street. I think there's nothing else on that. It's just straightforward contract, at least
straightforward contract. And just so everybody else knows, this event is, I think it's the third or fourth year that they're having, and it does bring a lot of people. And it's a nice connection between the restaurants in town, because there does seem to be a rise in popularity for natural wines. I know that several other establishments in Hudson focus on natural wines, so this kind of bridges the gap between all of them, and they get to nerd out about new natural wines. So it's pretty cool.
Point of information.
Sure.
Usually there's a small bonded insurance thing that has to happen for events, just in case. Is that true for this?
Yes, they named us in their insurance for the use of the property. We're good.
Thank you.
Of course.
Brandy, you have a certificate of insurance?
Yep.
In hand? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I assume this is coming up for a vote to approve now?
Because it's a nominal event and it's revenue, I don't know that we need to vote on it. Yeah.
All right. If we did, I was going to make the motion.
if it makes you feel better, we can.
No.
We can.
No. As long as you had that certificate of insurance.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, we also carry alcohol permit license that we've always carried for events in case something happened in a public venue that HGC could be of service, which is, I discovered that looking through our insurance earlier in the spring. So it's great.
All right. moving on to the last item under new business.
I'm going to bring John back in.
Thank you.
Good.
Moving on to the last item under new business, our monthly update from Mayor Johnson. Mayor Johnson, the floor is yours.
Hi, Chairman. So the time going on right now, is the budget. That's budget season. We're about, let's say, 90% finished with the budget. This year, budget looks very promising. We're not the fund balance at all. We won't be raising any city taxes for a second straight year. Revenues have been excellent.
Oh, I think we lost you, Mayor. Is he frozen for anybody else?
Could somebody text him? He may not know. He's frozen.
I got it.
All right, am I back? Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Yes, good.
Yeah, our internet hasn't been the greatest here at City Hall. So where did you guys lose me?
You ended on a good note that revenue has been excellent for Hudson.
Great. So yeah, revenues have been excellent. Fees, the new schedule revision has been one of the reasons we're able to some price so quickly. It was known by the treasurer in the last VA meeting conducted by the common council president. We're about 90% done. If you would like to learn more, we have another VA meeting tomorrow. And the information is on the city website. We're also...
Oh, we lost you again. I don't know if you can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes back.
Let's move on to public comment and see if there's any public comment. If the mayor comes back and we can cut back to him. My screen shows his microphone is off.
Yeah, he's got his sign back.
They just logged me back in.
Okay, there he is.
Okay.
Still I'm here. Take three.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so we're expecting, you know, a couple of grants for our police department, JAG grant from Dede Barrett's office for $30,000 that will pay for police crisis intervention training. You know, we're also working in our task force on some issues to improve some of the conditions with some of the homeless that are in the park, getting direct mental health services to those in need. But yeah, the big news is the budget. We're also applying for a huge CDBG grant that's going to help with, you know, housing, construction, and different issues like that. So fingers crossed, that'll be a tremendous grant for the city.
Is the CDBG grant also including home improvements, or is it just new construction?
Yeah, it's home improvements. Anyone who has issues that, you know, they can't afford to bring up to code, they'll be able to cover those expenses.
Cool. All right. Any questions for the mayor?
Yes, mayor, that program with the to help people fix their house, is that the program where the contractors end up being reimbursed through money because it's the cost of repairs is tied to folks' property taxes?
No, this is...
It's a pure grant.
Yeah, this is grant money. So we'll be, the city will be awarded the money, and then we'll be putting out grants to homeowners, property owners. So we already, you know, have taken in a bunch of letters of interest to submit with our application. So we kind of have a rough idea.
All right. So so essentially, just for everybody's clarification, so the city is going to manage a grant program. They're receiving CDBG funds, and they're going to do the grant program. Is that going through HCDPA?
No, this will be directly through the city. You know, we just submitted, I believe, the last part of the application. So fingers crossed.
Cool.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. Hi, Mayor. I have observed the homeless in the park, and I wonder, I know that a couple of them do receive services at Columbia Memorial as inpatients from time to time and then are released. I wonder if you could share with us how many homeless people you know exist in Hudson, and how that program would help them. It's a very sad thing. I was curious.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably familiar with the handful that congregate the 7th Street Park, but you know, that's kind of a difficult question to answer because there's so many different factors of homelessness. So we also have a number of people who, you know, two or three families to small apartments as well, where they
Typically
wouldn't classify as homeless, but, you know, they're not going to be able to remain in those situations. So right now there's, the last I saw, there was 107 vouchers for rental assistance out there that people for Section 8 that people aren't able to use because it wouldn't cover the amount of the rising housing cost of rent.
Okay. Right. I guess I'm more interested in the actual people living on the street, because that's the most visible in Hudson, the saddest human condition that we have to observe. in our population. And I'm just curious, I know there's at least four that I know myself. And I wonder how we would manage them into, I mean, I know some of them are receiving hospital support, and they take them in and then they let them out, and then they take them in and let them out. And that's, you know, clearly not working. Give them any sort of leg up on getting to be in a better situation. So that would be something I would be interested in hearing more about.
Yeah, so right now, the last meeting was about a week ago, and we talked about creating two positions for field team specialists. So they would be hired to kind of give that full support to individuals in need. You know, some of the issues are that, you know, if you're homeless, you get a voucher for a hotel that's outside the city of Hudson, you know, or, you know, people call the police and, you know, they're arrested, but the police can only hold them for a certain amount of time. And there's a lot of unaddressed mental health issues. So these field specialists would be able to work with them for an extended amount of time. You know, MCAT, which is the mobile crisis assessment team, can only give them so much support in the times that, you know, they're open. But these people would be assigned kind of like a caseworker for these individuals, where, you know, they can show up where they are at, you know, the drop of a dime, and kind of keep them moving into different services throughout the city and county.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you, Christine. Any other questions or observations for the mayor? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Just a point of information. I read an interesting article that out in the Southwest, they were working an interesting program with the hospitals and insurance companies, because what they were discovering is that revolving situation that Christine was describing was frightfully expensive, because you'd get somebody healthy and then they'd be living rough, and whatever health you'd gotten together would unravel because of the harsh living conditions. Mm-hmm. So they were actually, and I don't remember the precise arrangement, but clearly the difference between the voucher price and the actual cost of housing is an issue. And so they were mediating with the hospitals and the insurance companies, saying, in the end, it's cheaper for you to help us give housing to these folks and make up that difference than it is to have them going through a revolving door. So I just put that out there for research potential. I don't know if that would work in the East or in our particular situation, but I did find it a way for it to be a collaborative and a partnership approach to the issue. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. We're looking at similar models in our wellness initiative.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
End of new business. Public comment. Any comments from the public this afternoon? Hearing none. We'll call for a motion to adjourn the October meeting.
Never stop.
I make that motion.
Mr. Barrett, motion second. Made, seconded. Second. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting?
Aye.